Welcome to our Maundy Thursday service. The psalm for today is taken from Psalm 116, verses 12 to 19. The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 3 to 11. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, 23 to 32. And the Holy Gospel is according to St. John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17 and 31 to 35. Pastor Magruder will read those for you now for his sermon tonight titled, Gift and Example.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from Exodus chapter 24, beginning with verse 3. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. On this night, Jesus was with his 12, his Israel, his church, in the upper room, eating the Passover meal. At this Passover meal, Jesus is both gift and example. He gives his body and blood, the very things he will sacrifice on the cross to win salvation, to reveal the glory of God. And with the bread and wine comes the incredible promise of forgiveness. But first, Jesus is example. He gives them a pattern to follow, an example of sacrificial service, and he models it perfectly. He takes off his tunic, grabs a towel and a basin of water, and does the unthinkable. He is the Lord of all, the one who created each of these men. And he stoops down to wash the dusty, dirty, and calloused feet of his own disciples. He bends down to do the work of a servant. And this is why Jesus took on flesh. He told those men that he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, Peter at first refuses Jesus. His pride gets in the way of being given to. It's true that one of the hardest things in our grown-up world is to be given a gift as a gift. We say things like, "You shouldn't have," and we mean it. Or when someone pays for a meal, we say, "No, no, let me get that." So too Peter. "No, Jesus, I won't let you serve me that way." Well, then, what about Jesus' gift of salvation in his Good Friday death? Would Peter refuse that too? Well, Jesus, ever patient, persists in his servant way of giving. Peter must learn to be given to, because before you can give of yourself in service to others, you must first receive the divine service of the suffering servant Jesus in his death on the cross, and in his word, and in his supper. In washing their feet, Jesus gives them an example to follow, that you also should do just as I have done to you. This is what it means to live under him in his kingdom and to serve him. He's the king who bows before his subjects and washes their feet. Seeing this, is there any task beneath us? A servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. What does master and teacher Jesus do? He washes dirty, dusty, and repulsive feet. But Jesus, however, is more than an example. Example Jesus is nice, but example Jesus doesn't save you. So he takes the bread that opens the Passover meal, the hard, unleavened bread of affliction. He gives thanks, breaks it into pieces, and hands a piece to each disciple. It's a gift. To be given the piece of bread is to be admitted to the meal. You belong at this table and to this family, is what that said at the Passover. But then Jesus speaks words never before said at a Passover meal. This is my body, which is given for you. His words tell us what we couldn't know for ourselves. This bread is Jesus' body, what will later be given into death on the Good Friday cross to atone for all sin. Here, bread finds the highest and holiest use, to be the vehicle to deliver Jesus' body, the bread of life, the living bread come down from heaven. His church would live off this bread of his Good Friday death until he appears again in glory. Then he takes the cup of wine after the supper, which is called the blessing cup. He lifts it, gives thanks, and tells each of his disciples to drink from it. And then again, Jesus speaks words never before uttered in a Passover. This is the New Testament in my blood. The Lord's Supper is his last will and testament, by which he bequeaths his sacrificial blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. Here, too, wine finds its ultimate purpose, binding those who drink of Jesus' cup in a covenant of his blood. In the Old Testament, blood stood for life. The life of the creature is in the blood, Moses said. This blood, however, of the New Testament is a divine blood that only can atone for sin and was poured out for you in your place as Jesus bled from the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And now he gives it to drink with the cup of wine. Washing feet was an example. That is something the disciples who believe in Jesus can do. But giving his body to eat and his blood to drink is something only Jesus could give. He unites us with him in his death and life. He is the vine, we are the branches. His body and blood, his death and life, flow into us and make us faithful servants. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. Come then to his supper on this night, which commemorates the night on which Jesus, your Savior, was betrayed into death. The same supper he gave to his 12, he now gives to you. Receive the bread he prepared for you and eat it. It is his crucified, risen, and ascended body. It's your manna to sustain you in your wilderness journey until you rise to walk in the promised land of heaven. Receive the cup he prepared for you and drink from it. It is his crucified, risen, and ascended blood of the New Testament poured out for the many, poured out for you. What greater gift can Jesus give than to give you the fruits of his sacrifice, his own body and blood? He gives his all to you so that he might save all of you, body and soul. Nothing stands outside his forgiveness. Nothing can separate you from his self-sacrificing love. No greater love is there than that this self-giving love that lays down its life for another is for you. In his supper, at his table, he lays before you the gifts of his cross and says, "These are for you." The Lord's body and blood will have its way with you in two ways. It enlivens you in faith toward him, and then in fervent love toward one another. It's love that seeks to serve Christ in the least, the lost, and the lowly. It's a love that, if given the opportunity, would even wash dirty, dusty, gross feet, give a stranger a cup of cold water, or do the everyday, ordinary work of taking care of your family, your friends, or whatever the Lord calls you to do. Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We join all Christians in confessing our holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who, with the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Collect for this Maundy Thursday.
Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Go in peace and serve the Lord.